Hi, welcome to the Gooder Podcast. I am your host, Diana Frike. As partner and CMO of Retail Voodoo, an award-winning branding agency, I have met and worked with some of the most amazing women in the naturals industry, food, beverage, wellness, and fitness. As such, I decided to create the Gooder Podcast to interview these great people and subject matter experts and have them share their insights, expertise to help businesses all around the world become gooder. I'm super excited to introduce my guest today. I have a lot of people coming out of Portland and Eugene, like the Oregon seems to be like the big friendly community right now. So let me introduce Regine Wilson, who is the daughter of Glory Bee founders Dick and Pat Taransky. Did I get that right?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Definitely.
Regine has served in the family business in several capacities for over 25 years. After earning a BA in public health at the University of Oregon, ooh, I like that in relation to honey, that's cool. Her focus started in sales and building Glory Bee's consumer base or customer base. Regine now serves as Glory Bee's Director of HR and Communications, overseeing marketing, human resources, safety, sustainability, and community outreach. She's also married with two adult sons and a daughter. And in her free time, she enjoys cooking, wine, and travel. Welcome, Regine. How are you today?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. How's Eugene?
Well, Eugene, actually, we've had some sunny weather. We had a beautiful sunset today. No rain at the moment, but kind of chilly. We're all, you know, keeping our distance nowadays. So I think our restaurants did open back up where you sit outside, or outside. So I don't know, maybe I have that wrong. I could have it wrong, but I think you can actually sit outside.
I don't see a Ducks uniform back there. Do I see a Ducks uniform? Oh, girl, really? Oh. No, I'm a Husky. That's a problem.
I have an annual bet with a friend that lives in Seattle. We bet some really nice wine on.
Do ya?
Yeah, we, you know, it's okay. You know, and actually my family, half of my family graduated from SPU, which is a college up where you live.
So, yes.
Like my mom, my dad, my sister-in-law, and my brother all graduated from SPU.
Oh, I know a lot of people that graduated from there. It's a great school. We have a couple of good private schools up here, and then the UW is literally walking distance from our offices. So it's pretty great.
Anyways, it's a great school. Yes.
It is. But we're not really here to talk about that. Right. Well, let's talk about you and what you're up to with Glory Bee. But before we get into that, why don't you give us a quick history of Glory Bee? What is it? Why did it start? Why does it exist?
Well, Glory Bee was founded in 1975. Mm-hmm. My parents, their, you know, co-founders is what they call themselves, started it in a garage.
Oh.
And my dad really wanted to do a business that was sustainable in nature. He has an economics degree, and he thought, why don't I do something that people will always need? And why not healthy food, and why not something that's good for people, long before obviously it was popular.
Right.
Had somebody help him learn about beekeeping. He had up to 300 colonies of hives. And so there was a point when he was keeping all of it, but we started in a garage, and my mom has somewhat of a food science background. In the day, it wasn't called that. So talk about a match made in heaven. They were, you know, here's this entrepreneur guy, and here's somebody who really knows how to use the products. And so eventually we moved on from beekeeping to selling honey. My favorite story is a bakery that you've probably all heard of, Fran's Bakery. My dad was the man who brought the honey to them when whole wheat bread was just becoming popular. Wow. And, you know, whole wheat bread without honey or something in it kind of tastes like cardboard.
Yes.
So he presented it to them, and then they ended up ordering like 55 gallon drums of honey.
Oh my
dad was like, I don't know how I'm ever going to get this to them, but he figured it out. And they still buy honey from us today. So very interesting. So really today we sell all sorts of natural sweeteners and products and nuts and dried fruits and some innovative items. We also sell supplies. Once a year, we have honeybees that come and we actually sell those once a year. And then we also have just some other natural ingredients. Pretty much for the most part, we over 50% of what we sell is organic.
Okay.
I don't know the exact percentage for non-GMO, but definitely that's kind of what we do. We do, and we have about 150 employees. And we're in Eugene, Oregon.
Well, and now as much as you care to share, but there was like a little bit of a component to the founding, kind of like part of your parents' mission was kind of grounded in something more than just wanting to create something natural or for the better of people. Can you expand on that a little bit as much as you're comfortable?
Yeah, my parents both are definitely from a faith-based background. Mm. They really believe that you have a responsibility to give back. Mm-hmm. And in the early days, as many people may know, it was kind of considered private to give to causes, and really that whole the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is giving. And so my parents have supported a lot of different causes over the years. One of the ones that we're still really doing a lot with is the Eugene Mission. They're probably one of the best, most progressive missions that I've ever heard of, because they actually, you know, give people an opportunity to get back to life. They're not just feeding them food. They're giving them a chance to actually potentially have a job and a life and all that. So that's an example. And so the first sentence of our mission statement is built upon a belief in God, which is probably pretty unique. Mm-hmm. We're in the natural foods industry, and we've been selling to co-ops. We've been selling to other like-minded companies that might not share that exact value, but the value that I think we've all shared is still faith, just in general, you know, faith in what we're all trying to accomplish with our brands. And then also the genuine relationship.
Yes.
I don't know the whole story, but my dad tells a story from the early days when he didn't have everything he needed and just all the people that came together to help do what he needed to do to get this business off the ground. So, you know, I think that's a lot of what the industry was built on. To the same brands, you know, our neighbors, we're neighbors to Nancy's Yogurt, and, you know, we've organically grown, you know, we have a good relationship, all those organizations in Eugene. I think what's different is that people really do want to support each other. And yes, of course, sometimes you're in competition, but at the same time, we all believe that, you know, we're doing something good to help people or help the planet. And healthy food is such an important thing.
Well, and our industry has that superpowery type of thing. I mean, that's what we do, is we're trying to help people live longer, live better lives. And so it just is a natural fit. It's become a bit Hollywoodized in the last couple of years. Say that tongue in cheek. But I think that's still there. And so I love the founding story simply because religion always seems to be polarizing, but if we look at kind of any religion at its basic crux, it's all about giving back. And so I like this extension, that this was an extension of not just their passion, but their faith, you know, it just kind of naturally came together. So let's talk a little bit then. Since then, of course, the torch has been somewhat handed to you. I don't know how much, but you can talk a little bit about that. How is this transitioning, and how much of the business is sitting on your shoulders, and how much is still shared amongst the rest of the family, or your parents, or whomever else might be there?
Well, I think we're really 2020, as odd of a year as it's been. You know, my dad's really, I would say, officially retired You know, so he, one thing I realized for other people who've been in business that I did not understand is for him, this company was his hobby. This is what he did for fun. So I could never really figure out why he didn't want to retire.
Mm-hmm.
Watching, he reads the Wall Street Journal every day, you know, watches the commodities, the food commodities. And I'm like, what is this all about? But now he's happy with his bees and his garden. And he's really focused on the special soil that he needs to make his berries grow. So, but in 2015, officially the torch was passed to myself and my brother. So my brother and I kind of took over as leading the business. Mm-hmm. And in 2015, there was still some extra hands in the cookie jar giving us advice. Mm-hmm. And my mom, you know, she's amazing. She really, truly loves the brand, loves the products, uses them. So she's been instrumental over the years. But yeah, we took that over and it's been more challenging, I would say, in the last 2 years, especially as natural foods have become more mainstream and popular. Yeah. And, you know, we've got the big people out there involved yeah. in selling our products, but it's become very competitive. So, you know, we were doing this before it was cool. And I was laughing a little bit, probably back in 2017. I said, it's sort of fun to be cool now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we've transitioned. And, you know, I think one of the challenges has been helping the founders to understand that we are not trying to change the values of the company. Our core values are faith, genuine relationships, healthy mm-hmm. living, and stewardship. And those are pretty unique, but how they look and feel and sound and how we include everyone in what that means to them. And then also, I think our Save the Bee has made that a little more possible. And that was the first time Glory Bee really put themselves out there mm-hmm. in terms of sharing something they were passionate about. But and it was, you know, again, the company's been giving to causes, but it's never been visible. And mm-hmm. I think what's cool about it is it was authentic. That's what I've really told my employees. I said, yes, it is. Again, it can be part yeah. of marketing. But at the same time, we were already doing this. This mm-hmm. isn't something that we're doing just because it's cool to, you know, give back and be part of something bigger than yourself. And again, like you've mentioned and we've talked about before, mm-hmm. is that it isn't about one business or one company. It's about all of us doing things together to make this world better. And Save the Bee gives us a way to do that that is very relatable mm-hmm. to people, and especially people who care about quality food and they care about the environment.
Well, let's jump to that really quick. Then why don't you tell us a little bit about the Save the Bee program? Why is it important to you? Why is it in your mission? But then, well, let's just start with that.
Yeah, well, you know, I can't take credit for coming up with it. My younger brother, Alan, he came up with the idea in 2012 that let's have this cause. And we give 1% of our sales of retail honey and bee supplies to the product, which, you know, equates to probably, you know, $75,000-$80,000 a year, but that's just for those products. But then we ended up, really what made us a great team is I'm the marketing person. And I was like, you know what, why don't we open up the doors of our company and let people see what's inside the walls and who we are. And we just started inviting people to learn about the bees and the issues with the bees. And so now this is a really cool program. I even have a full-time employee me with it. So that was big. She'll be coming up here on 2 years with me.
My goodness.
So what we do is we really just reach out to our customers and other businesses in the community, and we ask them to be part of it. And typically, you know, we're asking for a donation for the cause, but also that allows them to promote that with their brand. So we're very fortunate. We have some really cool partners. We're working, you know, Fran's Bakery makes us Save the Bee bread. Yes. You've probably seen it.
Yes.
We have some ice cream folks that have put that on there. We've worked with Oakshire Brewing. They make us a beer every year. And we Hub, H-U-B, is I think a brand you've seen probably up there. Gotcha. They are recently making a really cool kind of darker beer. And so they've been doing like these more limited releases.
Okay.
And then we have some kombucha folks that have done Save the Bee. So what happens that's fun about the program is people can do kind of their own thing, but we do allow them to put our Save the Bee logo on their brand. Mm-hmm. And then by doing so, you know, we're working together. So this year we will eclipse $600,000 that we will have raised for Save the Bee. And what I love to say is that honestly, every penny that people give goes to the cause because we do it as part of our business model. So sometimes it's a lot sometimes to facilitate all that, but at the same time, it's kind of for the good of all of our food supply and our environment and everything that we all need to keep our favorite pollinators healthy.
Oh my goodness. Well, so we, in the news, and then of course in our industry, we hear a lot about what's happening with bees, and there's efforts in multiple people, different types of brands, that sort of thing. From the work that you are doing in the Save the Bee program, is there something specific that the bee program, like, is it going to a certain geographic area? Is it going to a certain thing? And then what kind of, I'm going to use an incorrect term, what kind of return are you getting on it? Not so much what's your benefit, but what's our benefit from what are we turning around at this point?
Well, I'm very excited to share a really awesome statistic that I really love to share that has to do with the program. So OSU is where the majority of our money goes. So that's Oregon State University. Okay. We also give to WSU as well.
So they've got a great program. Mm-hmm.
So both have honeybee labs. Mm. And so OSU has just recently put out research that indicates that the research they're doing is providing the beekeepers $5 million a year in savings and benefits. That's kind of a big deal because the things they're doing to help the commercial beekeepers
keep
their hives healthy is offset by, you know, this potential benefit, you know, really? Whether it's a reduction in loss of colonies or knowing how to treat their hives. What we love about OSU and WSU also, of course, doing a great job. Is really what they're doing is they're pretty hands-on and grassroots. They're really working with the beekeepers and the farmers, helping people to understand like how pesticide use affects things, you know, how crops that are all, you know, GMO might also affect the health of the honeybees, because there's actually research that connects to the fact that it's less nutritional. So the nutrition of the bees is a very important factor.
Really?
So, and Dr. Ramesh, who's head of OSU's lab, he's just this incredible guy. I mean, we feel very fortunate to have him as a partner. And the money we're able to give, that when people contribute to our Save the Bee is kind of a big deal, is there's not a lot of controls put on it. So usually when you're part of a foundation, there's a lot of stipulations as to exactly what the money is used for. And because we're able to give him, you know, let's just say $100,000 a year,
right,
we can use that specifically for some of the things we feel are important tied to the beekeepers.
Interesting.
So it's been really nice to have a cool partner like Dr. Ramesh and all the folks who work in the lab. And so really that's where our money goes. And we also give to NCAP, which they're tied to the reduction in pesticide use and helping people to understand that. Bee Girl, which is, she's kind of semi-famous in Oregon, and she goes around and does a lot of education. And one fun thing that I still want to attend is she has a beekeeper's ball when there's no...
when there's no COVID.
Yes. But you can imagine if you've ever ran into a bunch of beekeepers, and I'm just being honest.
I haven't.
And I love them. They're unique. So a beekeeper's ball would be... very lively and fun.
Oh my goodness.
Probably like no other ball either you or I or anyone else has ever attended.
I'm sure. So Glory Bee is a B Corp and supports food for health and sustainable future initiatives. Ooh, I could say that easily. In addition, you guys are really about extending that hand, doing the work. And kind of, there's a little bit of this food chain and people and planet, right? That's just kind of, is this your translation of your parents' vision a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. You know, the B Corp, actually, I get to take a little credit for that. I love the B Corp, which we became certified in 2016, because it really allows you to be measured on things that are important and very ethical. I mean, for example, how much people get paid, you know, how much people get paid at the top to the bottom, you know, what's the living wage, for example, how many men and women we have in the organization. It measures that our suppliers, our things are ethically sourced. So all sorts of ways that we take care of our business and volunteering and giving back, all those things are being measured, but you're being measured against other companies that are also believe that those things are important. And I think one of the things that my brother, Alan, our president, brought up is when you think of the industry we're in with what we do, because we also distribute food and we have, you know, food from all over the world. I think it definitely translates. And supporting fair trade, which we do not actually sell tons of products that are really largely fair trade, like honey and cocoa and things like that. But we don't sell coffee, so like there's a limited number of suppliers that would be affected by that. But making sure you're really looking at those. So I think when you think about stewardship, sometimes people get that really focused on, you know, just specifically giving money, but it's also about taking care of people that you do business with.
And
I've always thought of it, it's a reciprocal relationship.
Yes.
And I think the food industry specifically gives us an opportunity to affect that. So if we buy honey in Brazil from a small community, that might help pay for an entire year of what it costs that family to support itself. Or especially when we buy a container load of organic coconut oil, which we visited the farms and we visited the people that are producing those products, easily that would be double what they would typically make in a year to supply for their family, things that we can't even fathom. So I think that's part of stewardship. Also, just really being fair with our customers has been really, I give my dad credit for that. He's always said, you know, we're not trying to, you know, price gouge our customers. We're trying to make sure everybody is successful.
Yeah.
So I think the B Corp is a big deal. I think the sustainability really also is part of that. And it's an ongoing education, as everybody knows. Like, what does that really mean? I mean, sustaining your future for the next generation, your food supply, how you do business, the choices you make. I mean, it's kind of big. And I would say I really feel myself, I've only really became more educated about that in the last 10 years, mm-hmm. I would say 10 to 15 years. In the beginning, I was like, whoa, you know. So the B Corp is a big deal. We still have a lot of ways we can improve. Mm-hmm. Last year, we were able to become, you know, one of the change makers, and we got a bronze score. But director of sustainability told me, even though I thought it was a good score, he's like, we're gonna get a higher score. I'm like, okay. So he's in charge of the suppliers, which is a huge way that we can continue to do this in the world, because there's a lot of countries we do business with where they're providing most of what we purchase here in the US mm-hmm. in terms of organic foods. As people probably may not always realize, there actually is no certified organic honey in the US.
Is it all overseas?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just because of the farming practices.
Gotcha.
And Glory Bee was one of the first suppliers to be able to get our honey non-GMO certified, even though honey generally is non-GMO, but just to get the certification. So yeah, I think the values, and then I think also just the relationships. We've had a really long-standing history with the companies we do business with. Mm-hmm. And I find over the years that the employees, whether they've came and gone, you know, for different reasons, they really do stay connected to the company. We're not perfect, but definitely caring for people is a huge part of our business. But I think that food and beverage and what you're talking about, health, it is very relational. So it would make sense. I mean, I call food a love language. So
it absolutely is. It absolutely is, because, you know, you think to yourself as a human being, especially when you go all the way back to being a child and the food that's provided to you. And when you grow up, your connection to your past and your connection to your family or with the people you love, are the common denominator most of the time is food. There's meal around it. There's a special meal. There's a special ingredient. There's a special beverage. And so if there's a translation there, this is an extension of how we then take that and we care for other people in that same way. Like, what do we give as gifts most of the time? Food and beverages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Even more today, you know, it's like, I always used to say growing up, you know, going to some event, there was tea, coffee, maybe if you were lucky, hot chocolate, mm-hmm. and some tap water. Now, if you ever go, right, or Tang, if you were really lucky, you got Tang or something, but
or Kool-Aid or something,
Today, I mean, you go to any event where there isn't, you know, tons of beverages and typically some snack, and mm-hmm. and people kind of pride themselves mm-hmm. on being able to provide something really special. Mm-hmm. You know, other brands like Glory Bee really do it up, and you know, and I love having their products at an event or mm-hmm. something where we can proudly promote somebody else's brand.
As I've been interviewing people, because of course I've been in the naturals industry from my point of view since about 2011. And then prior to that, I was an organics buyer since the mid 90s, but my parents were immigrants. And so kind of eating back at that natural level was not really a new concept for me. It was just kind of the ability to access. And now that I'm older, when I started to have a job, et cetera, I went that way. But I'm just distinctly seeing a difference in the people and leaders that are B Corp driven and not B Corp driven, and not in a good or bad way. But I noticed, just as you've identified, part of your leadership style has to do with the care of not just doing a good job or taking care of what's mine or what's ours, but a little bit more broader. And I think that even extends into, like, that just becomes a way that you lead. because of course leading is always by example, right? We see this all the time. If you're a leader and you behave this way, then everybody who follows you will behave in the same way. So I just find it interesting. And most of the people in the naturals industry are familiar enough with a B Corp to know that the rigor behind the certification process is no joke. I mean, it's not any different than maybe Six Sigma or ISO certifications. Like, it's no joke. You are not just paying somebody, but because we just went through the just finished. It took us 4 years, but we just got our certification in the summer, and it challenges everything. It challenges the way you really do does. And the way you see everything.
Yeah, it does. And I think what you're saying is important for people to understand, because it is a challenge, but it's worth it.
Oh, yes.
It doesn't have to be the first year, right? I mean, it's going to take you time.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just think this is just kind of fun. When we spoke last time, one of the things that you said to me was, you know, we can't do good in the world by ourselves. And I think that might have been something that you got from your parents. I don't remember exactly, or maybe this is yours, but I love that statement in everything that you've just said. Like, every which way that you're talking about how you do your business, you are taking your employees into consideration, your suppliers into consideration, your family, your community, all of it, which is a fun relationship for me, because you supply honey and bees are kind of an example of, you can't make honey on your own. You can't pollinate on your own. So in some ways there's a nice little synergistic relationship going on there. Yes. I find it to be kind of a powerful POV. Now, of course, you probably don't remember the context of the statement, but I know that it has a specific meaning for you. Do you, or maybe you do remember, like when you, that statement, where does that come from? Is that an extension of you? Is that learned? Is it?
You know, it's interesting. You would think that possibly being like the boss's daughter, that it would have been easy, but I've always had to prove myself, because people have doubted that I really, really knew what I was doing. And so that kind of started in the beginning. And so part of that did force me to really think about how everything's interconnected. And fortunately for me, that is somewhat natural for who I am. But when I think of everything we're all trying to do in this world and how important that is, and I heard it recently since, we had even spoken, that the word belonging is such an interesting word. And I hadn't thought about it recently, but when I think about something and I think of belonging and I think about our industry, how can we all belong? And how can we all be part of something bigger than ourselves? And I know, for example, no matter what the cause is, but I love this cause because it connects to our industry in such a big way. You know, saving the bee is a huge part of that, but it can also become very relational, because it's from, you know, the next generation of beekeepers, which are not, it's not an easy job, just like a farmer.
Right.
We've even had it called the redheaded stepchild. Oh, the beekeeper is like, you know, because that kind of, it's a different world. And then when you think about the people that are affected, we've been very fortunate. We've ran into some really unique folks, and there was a man in Africa, and I can send you his information. I believe his organization is called Stars of Hope. But what he does is he specifically targets women in Africa to teach them how to become beekeepers so that they can provide for their families. And so that's in, because a lot of times women become outcasts for various reasons. And so they don't have a way to be provided for. So it's just kind of cool how it touches so many different ways. And even, you know, when you think about our Food for Health, we work with a local organization the school garden project of Lane County. Mm-hmm. And they basically are teaching these kids how to garden and how important the pollinators are. And just I guess the humanity aspect is where I'm trying to say that it takes all of us. I know we also give money. Part of what we also give to is Family Works. It's an organization up in your area. You know what I love about that food bank?
What?
It's a lot of us Better For You brands that are giving to this food bank.
That's
so
awesome.
So not only do these people get to pick their food when they go through the line, because they're humans. Why should they be given a bag full of groceries, which is not the stuff that they eat?
Yes.
And so it's the coolest thing to just see what our industry has done and how much people care and how much people are willing to give. And I think just food in general, like you mentioned, typically food is something you give. It is something you share. And I wonder if that isn't a huge reason that the natural and Better For You brands have, they're thriving, because that is what it's about. It is about sharing. It is about giving back. Because typically, you know, if your friend wanted half of your drink, your kombucha, I mean, you definitely give it, you probably wouldn't say no, absolutely not. So I think that's a lot of what it's come from. And also just with the values of the company, it was a very, very big deal to our founders that something was written in to our articles of incorporation that we were, you know, we did give back.
It's part of
the business model that we have. And I believe for B Corps in general, that is one of the things they ask you to consider. And so that was a big deal that we would still have the freedom, no matter what, that we would be giving to causes that were important and supported what the company was all about.
That's so interesting. I mean, it's really, it's not that it's unique, because specifically in the naturals industry, that's part of the reason why so many of these brands exist. You know, some of it, most of it is because there's a personal need has come up in the marketplace. But then on the other side, you have these companies who want to start a business and they are in love. I'm just going to make something up here. Like, they love making chocolate chip cookies, but that's not necessarily better for you. But what they want to do with making chocolate chip cookies is like save the whales. Like, and that is how they're able to do it. And I love that part of our industry is that, that people are so willing to give, whether it's their expertise or their money or, so it's, you know, it's great to always talk with, somebody who's with a brand that has been around since, before naturals was popular, because, you know, especially in the 70s, that was really when, right on the very, very beginning, when, you know, even in the 80s and 90s, the organic section was the size of a shoebox and looked like stuff that people questioned all the time. And of course, now food science and farming practices have evolved to the point that we can, where we're transporting and growing food all over the world. And now we get to solve another level of product problem, right?
Right.
So I love that. And I love that you and your team are like, you're not just looking at bees. You are looking at all parts of the food cycle. And
it's good. I agree with you. It's interesting when I think back to the early days and I remember how ugly a lot of the organic products were. They were frightening. And, you know, and then were double the price that they are, you know, now there's not that much, 25% maybe difference in price, but, and then just nobody knew what it was. I mean, and, you know, but it was, you know, It was cool. It's cool to be part of something in the beginning and also see how it's evolved.
Oh my gosh. I have stories. When I was in college, I used to clean houses for people who had had environmental allergens. So I was a naturals cleaner in the 90s as part of my, you know, I was working for college. That was college money. So, and my friends thought I was working for they were called freaks at the time. And now it's like, it's everywhere, buddy. You know, it's kind of crazy. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You can imagine my parents with their Birkenstocks and eating, you know, peanut butter and honey sandwiches and Nancy's yogurt for dinner.
And our time is almost up. Last couple of fun questions that I like to ask. One specifically is always about, well, you know, what is something interesting about what you guys do, whether it's bees or processing or anything that is kind of, you know, happy hour factoid that I can take?
Well, I always think it's fun to remind people that in order for you to enjoy a product like honey, bees have to travel, I think it's 55,000 miles to produce a pound of honey.
Really?
So, let me double check that. Okay. I got that written down. Yeah. So a beehive has to travel. So that's kind of interesting. And especially because honey's on trend and, you know, it's the number one sweetener, preferred sweetener.
Yes.
Natural.
Yes.
Outside of course, organic sugar, because just sometimes people are challenged to find the right honey to be perfect in their product. But I think that's interesting fact, you know, just to think about that. Another one I had here, I'll look back at you. Well, just that I think when it takes 2 million flowers, so it takes 2 million flowers for bees to produce a pound of honey. So
it's unbelievable.
The bees would have visited all those floral sources. Wow. So like living where you live and we live, blackberry honey, of course, is amazing.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And you have lots of it because we live in the berry, you
know. Thank you, Luther Burbank, for that.
Yes. And so knowing that, those are kind of fun facts, I think, you know, just knowing that when you're sitting there having, you know, today you can have a cocktail and there's honey in it a lot more often.
Oh yeah.
Honey and coffee. I mean, people drink honey in their coffee.
Yes, that's true. What other brands or trends? I mean, this could be in your industry, but are you excited by anything else that you're seeing in the market out in our naturals world or even not? I mean, could extend out there just in regards to food or beverage?
I think the food waste is a big deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been excited to learn that some of the bigger companies are really making that a priority. Mm-hmm. I was actually doing some research on the new female, I believe, CEO of Clif Bar.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, she's really pretty innovative. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's pretty cool that that's a woman. And then just to know how important that is, you know, just the food waste. And waste in general, but food waste is kind of a different animal. And for me, I like that because I think it's like taking things to the next level.
Yeah.
I think the Better For You brands have already done a lot.
Yeah.
But this is another way for us to give back.
Yeah.
And it's forced me, I don't know where you're at, but I have a 24-year-old son and he has a girlfriend that's 21 and then I have a 19-year-old son and I am doing my Christmas shopping, making sure that every brand I buy from, they're going to force us to be even better.
Yes,
I need to make sure, you know, was it ethically sourced? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it doesn't even necessarily need to be expensive, but, you know, how were the people that, you know, made that product treated? Or do they plant a tree for the sweatshirt I just bought? So those are kind of cool things. I also think, you know, how do those brands like Glory Bee that have been around for a while stay true to who we are? Mm-hmm. But also remember that new consumer, they are going to keep us on our toes. They can Google us in 5 seconds. And I don't know if you've heard this, but I heard that the COVID pandemic has forced us 5 years forward with technology.
Well, that feels like it for sure.
Yeah.
It feels like it. In some ways, very good, in other ways, not. But I definitely feel like all the research that we're seeing is Generation Z has the fire of millennials in regards to the no tolerance of things, but the compassion, but a different kind of compassion, or the fact that they have compassion. Millennials have compassion, but it, you know, of course we're talking about whole cohorts, but they're very different in how they show up. And I think Generation Z is going to have an impact in a much different way than we could have guessed a year ago, just simply because of the change.
I think so too. And they're super smart, and they, you know, they can, they probably read more than we realize, because they're reading everything.
And
I'm shocked how they can recite things that, you know, I would not consider myself to be as educated about.
How are you, before I go, how are you keeping yourself sane and centered these days?
You know, I kind of think that I've had moments, but because I am very focused on the people that work for me, my job is really to think about what they need. And so it's a nice distraction. And so that's kind of how I keep myself sane in general. Sometimes when I stop for a minute, I've had a few moments where I'm like, I just want to kind of do what I want to do right now. And I can't, because I need to be careful or, you know, keep my parents safe, or not have Thanksgiving in an enclosed environment, you know, so things like that. But generally, and also by thinking about what other people need. Helps me a lot stay grounded. And I have this incredible team of people that works for me, and they're just amazing. So it makes it fun. It makes it fun. I'm always, we're always on our toes, and we've been learning a lot about technology this year. So it's been kind of a fun distraction, you know, making internal videos. And, you know, I have said 2020 has not been as much fun though.
No,
as some of the previous years. I said, I'm looking forward to a little more fun.
Yes. Less fires, less COVID, less everything. Well, I know I'll be able to share some of the, your company's social handles, but if people wanted to connect with you directly, do you, are you a LinkedIn kind of person? Okay.
Yeah. You can message me on LinkedIn.
Okay. Great.
I believe if you go to the website, also my cell phone is on there. I really do not love voicemail.
Okay.
So if you want to email me or text me or LinkedIn message me, that's the best way. And I would love to, you know, connect with people. And I appreciate you just giving me this opportunity.
Well, really excited to be a neighbor to be a neighbor to the north of you guys. And we've spoken over the years, and it's really great to learn more about you. And I know there are lots of other things that we could talk about, everything from Strength Finder to all that's a whole separate topic for another time, I'm sure.
Let's do it. I would love it. And also I wanted to mention, I have some of that same art in my house that you have behind you.
You do?
Yes.
This one, the Be Kind?
Yeah. And the, I think the one above. So yeah, I have the one that says, I think, be happy and kind of like, and then I have one that talks about your children, you know. It's a really cool, I'll send you a picture.
Please do. I love these things.
Yeah, I do too. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for your time. I hope you enjoyed this.
I did.
And I look forward to maybe seeing you in person soon. And if not, a conversation again.
Yeah. And I'm going to have Jesse send you some stuff. So I want to send you some products.
I appreciate it.
So we'll follow up. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Regine. This episode is sponsored by Retail Voodoo, a creative marketing firm specializing in growing, fixing, and reinventing brands in the food, beverage, wellness, and fitness industries. If your Naturals brand is in need of positioning, package design, or marketing activation, we're here to help. You can find more information at retail-voodoo.com. And so there you go. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to this channel and share with your network. Until next time, be well and do gooder.